love where Daniel was taking us there, Thane. I don't want us to get right to the sermon right away. In the sermon, we're going to be talking about being really loved and accepted by God, and we'll be talking about how we treat other people. But I know some of you have got so much pain that you're full of pain. There's no room to feel love or to give somebody else love. And I was reminded of a song that Daniel actually wrote. He played it for us, this was years ago, but he had this line in it where he's talking about Jesus and Jesus's pain. And then he says, "Jesus, you took my pain to the place where you took your pain, to the Father. This idea that Jesus suffered a lot here on earth. Jesus didn't do it alone. You know, Jesus tells his disciples, "You guys are all going to leave me alone." He says this in John 16, "But I'm not alone because my Father's with me." And when we go through hard stuff, Jesus comes in and he takes that pain that we're in. He knows how it feels and he knows how to take it to God. And before we can talk about love or about doing the next right thing, if you're full of pain right now, I want to lead us in a prayer. Let's try to, not that you're just going to be able to be done with the pain, but you say, "Jesus, please carry this with me to your Father." Okay, I'm going to lead us in that prayer. You can pray with me if you want to. "Jesus, you suffered when you were here on earth. Some people are going through cancer or financial struggle or doubt or a loved one in crisis or a friend who's relapsed. Jesus, we take the pain in our heart and we ask you to carry it. Jesus, please take our pain to your Father and please take care of us and take care of the people we love. We're here to listen to you. Please help us to listen. Amen." When I was 17 years old, my older brother was 22, and I can remember real vividly a weekend where I got to go stay with him. And when you're 17, 22, and living in your own place with a bunch of roommates, like in some little house, like, feels pretty cool, right? Like when you're a 17-year-old to go stay with your brother. And I can remember all sorts of details about stuff we were doing, about people showing up late, roommates showing up late, and then like more stuff happening, you know, like when I would have normally been asleep. And not everybody has good siblings. Not everybody has kind siblings, but I had a really good brother who like made me feel a part of all the stuff that was going on. And when you're 17 and a bunch of 22-year-old guys are letting you join in on everything they're doing, you feel like you don't deserve it, but it feels good, right? And I can remember, I got this picture of a campfire. I can remember us all sitting around a fire super late at night and just how good it felt to be one of the guys because my older brother had like ushered me into that. And I don't know if you have an older brother or not. My hope is you had some sort of time in your life where there's a group of people that you're like, "Man, it would be good to be a part of that group." And somebody brought you into that group and made you a part of it. How many people are like, "Yes, I can remember that," right? And even the details, right? Like the fire, I can remember all sorts of details. I won't waste too much of our time, but all sorts of details come back vividly, right? So we're going to talk about a passage, and it's talking about how Christians should treat each other. I want you to turn there with me, though, because we're going to come back to it a couple of times. It's in Colossians chapter 3, and it's worth seeing it. I'm going to read it as a whole chunk, but I think you're going to be able to experience it better if you actually got it in front of you. So if you got a Bible in front of you in the pews, Colossians is one of those itty-bitty books kind of towards the back. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. When I was a little kid, somebody said God eats popcorn is how you remember those four. I don't know why that stuck with me, but that's Colossians is at the end of that. Colossians chapter 3, great chapter talking about how do we get our mind on something better and how do we act better than we've been acting in our old ways. But here it's going to talk about God's love for us, how we should treat each other. And I'm going to have some action steps for us, but as adults, sometimes we rush to like, what do I do next to fix myself or to fix my problems? I want us to take a different approach today. I want us, the first time we read this passage, I want you to imagine being a part of a group of Christians or a church where other people were treating you this way. And I want you to imagine like how it would feel to be treated by people that were acting this way. Sometimes we see this list of like do all these good things and we think about how we fall short or how we're going to try harder. I want you to just be an imagination zone of imagine a room of people treating you this way. How would that feel? Okay, so this is going to be our first time reading through it. It says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, so imagine you're in a group of people that know that God set them apart, made them useful. They know that they're dearly loved. Clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Imagine a group of Christians where when you show up in that group, everybody there has got compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Just like nobody showed up naked today. Like imagine a church where like everybody showed up with all those things all the time, right? It's nice, right? Verse 13. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. If you're picturing yourself in this perfect place, a perfect group of people, you might be nervous. You're like, well, I'm going to mess this up. But wouldn't it be nice if when you did mess it up, somebody immediately forgave you and put up with you and even forgave you the way Jesus forgives you, right? So that's not like holding it over you or something. Like that's this like eager to forgive and to want to move forward, right? Verse 14, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity, right? So not only is everybody being compassionate with you and patient with you, but people actually love you. A whole group of people. One more verse in this passage. This was right before what we read at Easter. This is the verse right before it. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace and be thankful. So a group of people where everybody, just like you know, my finger or my elbow, like everybody has a part. Everybody's needed. The whole group is thankful. And people have peace on the inside. They're not being fake about it. They got peace on the inside. And then there's peace within the group. Now, as we picture that, I might have like wore your imagination muscles out, right? Unless you're like young at heart, you might have been like, I stopped imagining a long time ago, Jake. Like, I'm not used to imagining far out stuff, right? Because we've never, even if you've got some great family at Thanksgiving or something, like you've probably never been in a group that's like that. Compassionate, patient, loving, like that sort of loving. And especially a group of people that are different from each other. Because normal, sometimes you can be loud. There's nothing about not being loud on there, Tracy. So you can be loud and still fit this. But like, Christians and churches in America, like, remember Martin Luther King Jr. has some quote about it's the most segregated time in America, right? It's Sunday morning. Right, like Christians seem to like, I want to get with people that look just like me and not have any issues. But obviously, if you're here at Maywood, like that's not your number one priority, right? Is to be in a church where everyone looks like you because we look different from each other. But also, you've been at Maywood, you know, like this is a lot easier to read about than it is to see. Because you get a group of people together, especially if they don't all look the same, and it gets real hard to have real relationships. You might be able to be surface level nice, but this sort of stuff is not humanly possible, right? So, got a picture here. I want to keep this idea with you today as we're talking. It says, members of one body. It's a theme that comes up a lot through the New Testament as a description of what is a church supposed to be. Church is supposed to be a body where Jesus is the head. Jesus is the leader. Jesus is the one calling the shots, and everybody else in service of Jesus works together. Everybody else has something to give and something to receive, right? There's no body part inside of you that is only giving, right? Like my hand needs support from other body parts, right? Like every part of us needs support from other body parts. But also all of our body parts do something, right? Your pancreas gives you insulin. It also helps make stomach acid. And stuff. Like, I mean, sometimes stuff you don't even know is happening, is going on inside your body. Things you don't even appreciate are happening, right? And honestly, like in a healthy church, like not everybody's going to appreciate what everybody else does or even know about it probably, right? Like my hand doesn't have any idea about stomach acid, right? It's just happy to get the nutrients that it needs, right? And it's ready to serve. Members of one body. That's what a church is supposed to be. The passage I read, it started by talking about how, remember that God loves you and that you're holy. C.S. Lewis, I read some from The Way to Glory a few sermons back. In The Way to Glory, C.S. Lewis talks about acceptance from God. That's the glory that the Bible talks about at times. About like what's one of the gifts that God gives us from all eternity? When we follow his son, it's glory. And it's not glory like you're famous on TV. It's glory like God himself accepts you and gives you praise. And C.S. Lewis says, you know, I used to think I was being humble, not wanting that glory, but really, like, if you've ever been around a kid who pleases their parent, like, kids love to please somebody who's in authority over them, if you've been around a little kid. And deep inside of us, there's this desire to be in front of God and for God to say, you did a good job. You're a part of this. And so even though Colossians didn't talk about glory, it talked about as dearly loved children. And I'm going to read us another passage about why do we need to be members of one body and about this glory. As I'm reading about it, though, it's easy as Christians to get focused on ourselves and to think about God loves me, and God's going to accept me, and that's going to be glorious. It's not bad to think about that. But we could also think about Jesse or Mary or Ernie, that God loves each one of these people. That God's going to bestow glory on them, acceptance, like they're a part of the family. When we start thinking about each other, when you realize God's accepted Randy, who are we to not accept Randy, right? Or God's accepted Tony, who are we to not accept Tony, right? So we read this, John 17. This is Jesus' prayer for us. Right before he goes to the cross, he says, my prayer is not for them alone, not just for his immediate disciples. He says, I also pray for those who will believe in me through their message. Verse 21. That all of them, that's all of us, all of Maywood, all the Christians in the whole world, may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us. And why? So that the world may what? Believe that you have sent me. So when we are united, the way that God the Father and Jesus the Son are united, when we're united with them and united with each other, other people have to realize, like, Jesus is real. When people who would never get along other ways, other walks of life, because of Jesus, are not just polite, or not just politically correct, but actually have real love and compassion for each other people can't deny that Jesus is real in the midst of that, like when they see it. Verse 22. Jesus says, I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. This idea of Jesus gives us the same acceptance that God gave him, and he calls us to be a part of his family so that we can be unified. Verse 23, it's our last verse from John. It says, I in them and you in me. It's Jesus talking about, like, he wants to be in us as a group. A lot of us think like, oh, I'm going to go spend my time with Jesus and my relationship with Jesus. And that's true. Jesus wants an individual relationship with you. But Jesus also wants us to be a family with him. Like, he wants a relationship with us as a group, too. So God gives us each a chance to make our own choice. But he doesn't want it just to be one-on-one. Like, he wants it to be us as a family, right? Then the world will know that you've sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Like, when we don't treat each other with love, we're not living in faith that God loves each one of us, right? When we don't treat the other person, we don't love the other person as ourselves, we're not paying attention, we're not trusting that God loves Chase or Cody, right? Or Joy. So how does this actually play out for us? Well, one more thought on this glory thing, and we're going to get into some practicals. I've got a few verses up there. We don't have time to go to Hebrews chapter 2. I love that passage, though, and it's talking about Jesus suffering so he can bring us as brothers and sisters, and he doesn't have any shame to be our brothers and sister. And I remember when I was around that campfire, my brother Sean, he didn't act ashamed of me. And I don't know if anyone else has ever been a younger sibling, but it's easy when you're the little kid for the older kids to act like they're ashamed of you, right? Like, walk behind us, right? Or whatever. Like, that's pretty normal. And when your older brother, who you feel like is better than you, when he welcomes you in, it's like a glory that you don't feel like you deserve, right? Hebrews chapter 2 talks about that, right? It talks about this glory. And I cut Jesus off in John 17. If you want to go back and read the rest of that, Jesus is going to give more promises about wanting relationship with you forever. Okay? So we don't have time to unpack all these passages, but you can look them up. So what do we do with these ideas, right? I know us as a church well enough that if we try to work together, there's going to be times, assuming you're perfect, we'll just give you that, we'll assume you're perfect, there are going to be times where other people are going to mess up, and it's going to become a mess. So you're going to have to choose over and over to say, like, failure is not an option. I don't know if you guys remember Apollo 13, it's from when I was a little kid, that movie, right, with, like, Ed Harris being like, failure's not an option, and he dumps a bunch of, like, seemingly trash on a table, and he tells all these scientists, like, this is what we have to work with, make this stuff work so these astronauts don't die, right? And there's no option of, like, well, we're just going to give up, it's okay that they're going to die. Imagine when you're doing something at Maywood, if you were like, it's not an option that we don't stick together as a family. It might be an option for someone to change roles or something, right? Like, maybe someone's helping in the nursery and they need to start singing, or maybe somebody's singing and we all agree that they need to stop singing, or whatever it might be, right? But it's not like an option to stop being a family. People have free will. We can't take this too far. Like, we're not a cult. Obviously, people can leave Maywood and go to another church, and Jesus is in a lot of places. So I'm not going to try to be like, everyone has to stay here. But if you're staying here, I wish you would have the attitude of, like, let's work it out. Like, it's not an option to stay here and not be loving to each other. It's not an option to stay here and be resentful. Like, we got to find a way to work it out. And you're going to have to develop the ability to have some boundaries, right? Like, somebody at Maywood is going to try to take advantage of you, and at some point you're going to have to be able to tell them, like, no, I'm not going to do that, and I'm still going to forgive you, but I'm not going to let you steal from me anymore or whatever, right? I mean, terrible, you know. We do all sorts of stuff to each other, right? So one more picture, and then we're going to read that Colossians passage one more time. So here's the picture. The Colossians passage talked about putting on clothes of this guy with the silly avocado socks on, right? So those are silly socks. Most people won't even see those socks throughout the day, right? Like, maybe his family, maybe somebody who sits next to him. If you really put on compassion, if you really put on patience, if you really put on Jesus' love, just like those socks, like, your family or whoever you live with is going to see it. And somebody at church is going to see it, even if not everybody sees it in any given day, right? Like, even if it's small, even if it's half covered up, it shows itself eventually, right? So we're going to read this passage one more time. When we imagine the first time, like, wouldn't it be so great to be a part of a church like that? But the second time we read it, I want you to imagine, like, you actually doing it this week, at least taking a step. And go back to that picture one more time before we do the verse. So here's where we're going to start. I love starting in the practical. It's easy to love, like, somebody you already like at church, right? And is already your best friend or whatever. Maybe you can be patient with them without trying, right? Like, Skylar and I, like, we get along super well. It's easy for me to be patient with Skylar, right? But I've got a little thing called the parking lot test. I didn't make this up. I can't remember who I learned it from, though. But sometimes you drive into a parking lot or ride your bicycle into a parking lot or whatever, but you see somebody's car, and if they fail what's called the parking lot test, it means your heart kind of drops a little bit. Like, oh, they're here. Here you go. And maybe you don't say it because you've been taught to be too polite or because you act like a kind person, whether you are or not or whatever. But the parking lot test, what your heart does that first moment you realize someone else is going to be there and you're not happy about it, that tells you something about yourself. It tells you that, like, that's a hard person for you. And that's all of us. All of us, even in this room, right? Like, we don't have to go outside. We don't have to go to Winter Road to find somebody that's difficult for us, right? I'm not going to go around with the mic right now and be like, who's the most difficult for you at Maywood, April, or whatever, you know, all right? We're not gonna do it, right? Like, we got hands, right? Now we got the hands, right? People that were afraid before. But if you're honest with yourself, there's somebody in the room that you're like, that one's hard for me. And maybe you got a bunch to pick from, right? I'll let you just pick one, though. Pick one of those people, and then as I read the same passage again, I want you to picture what would it actually look like to do these sorts of things with that one person. And then I want you to tell Jesus, like, Jesus, I'm going to remember that you love me, and I'm going to try to be this way to that person this week. Please give me an opportunity. I know some of you are afraid to pray for patience. You're like, then God's going to give you stuff to be patient about. Well, let's stop being afraid. Like, let's get on the team, right? Like, pray, like, Jesus, help me to do this with somebody that's hard for me to do it with. Because honestly, like, this is still, like, elementary school lessons, right? Like, can we be nice to the other people in the pews? Like, there's going to be harder things that Jesus is going to call us to, right? But if you don't know multiplication, like, you shouldn't just go try to get your GED, right? Like, I mean, like, go sit in a third grade class or whatever, right? I mean, like, we got to love each other if we're going to do other things, right? So just start with one person that's difficult for you and try to live this out. And remember, it starts with you got to be rooted in who Jesus, he loves you. Like, when you're rooted in that Jesus loves you, then you can do these things, right? So everybody got their person? Yeah? Okay. Remember, if you got a bunch of them, you just pick one. Okay, so, okay, verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, Maywood, holy and dearly loved, you are loved. You got to receive that. God loves you. God's going to take care of you. Clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience with that person that's difficult for you. It's Jake's words, but I'm adding that to it. Verse 13, bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has any grievance against someone. Maybe your person, you're like, well, Jake, you don't know. And you're like, I don't know. And I do know enough to know some people have legitimately hurt other people in the church, right? I mean, like, that sort of stuff does happen, right? There's some legitimate grievances. It doesn't say get taken advantage of, but it does say bear with them. And it says forgive them, right? Forgive as the Lord forgave you. I'll tell you, Jesus has forgiven me a whole bunch of times without telling me what I'm doing is okay. He said, Jake, I forgive you, now do something different, right? Like, that's the way Jesus forgives me, right? It's okay to set standards, but to let go of resentment, okay? Verse 14. And over all these virtues with your parking lot person, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace and be thankful. Jesus will rule your heart with peace if you let Him. If you do it Jesus' way, your heart will have peace as the boss in your heart. And it's going to give some commands. I know we don't think of peace that way, but like Jesus is going to tell you, like, fix this. Go ask for forgiveness. Go do this thing. But the end result is going to be peace. It's going to be all the fruit that comes out of following peace. And if you need a very first step, like, find something to be thankful about. That person that gets under your skin, find something to thank God for about them. It's going to help you, right? So we all know what we need to do, and we all need God's help, right? So I'm going to pray us out in a blessing, right? Okay, so let's pray. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.